right. So I'm with Graham Askey, who's an advocate for engineer-based solutions. Graham, could you just give us a bit of background about what you've been involved with in terms of flood mitigation strategies?
I've been a member of the Lismore Flood Risk Management Committee since its inception in 1989. And I also lived on the riverbank and had a business in town, so I became vitally interested in floods.
And what have you learned since then?
At first I was an advocate for nature-based solutions, but after listening carefully to our consultants who were preparing our plan in the mid-90s, I realised that while that would be helpful, they would not be enough, and you would need to do engineer-based solutions.
And where do you think we're heading in terms of
the... If the powers that be go ahead with Bundle 2, that would mean six large detention basins above Lismore, which will hold back 400 gigalitres, and another three large detention basins on the Richmond. I'm not sure how large they are. 400 gigalitres, that is 40% of the 1,000 gigalitres that fell on Lismore in February 2022.
What does 400 gigalitres represent in terms of volume?
That's a bit less than one Sydney Harbour. Sydney Harbour is 500 gigalitres.
So those retention strategies up in the upper catchment, that's going to affect properties in terms of some properties would need to be flooded when we get those sort of huge rainfalls. Well, how do you think you'd get around that in terms of, you know, moving forward?
The area required would be about 5,000 hectares, and you'd probably have to resume most of that. In the upper parts, which get flooded very infrequently, you could continue grazing. In the lower parts, closer to the dam wall, you would probably plant them out with trees that don't mind a bit of flooding, like river red gums.
What other strategies do you think need to be employed if you are to adopt an engineered-based solution to the flood mitigation problem?
The key to it, as I said before, is the large detention basins. As well as that, we also recommended was off-stream storage in the Tuckian Swamp. If you could just increase the height of the flooding there over and above what it would normally be, that's 4,000 hectares, you could have 20 gigalitres which aren't in the river. As well as that, it could restore the ephemeral opening to the ocean from the Richmond River near Boundary Creek, which was closed off in the 60s by the sand miners. That could also reduce flooding, not sure how much, a little bit, and that would help Ballina and Cabbage Tree Island.
Okay, so implementing those would be very costly, wouldn't they, the retention basins? Do you think that the politicians or the people that would be involved in having to finance that would be across the line to do that?
I'm not entirely sure exactly what the cost is, but there are the February 22 flood caused $20 billion of damages in the northern rivers, and I would think that the detention basins would come in at the order of about $2 billion. And once you do that, you then do not have to keep spending every flood the relief money, which governments have been tending to do.
The committee that you're on in terms of Lismore Council, what's the general consensus of that committee in terms of a whole problem solution?
The majority are in favour of engineered solutions. We do have a Greens councillor on there, of course, is in favour of nature-based solutions. Lismore Council has already endorsed Bundle 2.
Do describe that to me. What's that?
The CSIRO Bundle 2, as I said before, comprises six large detention basins on each of the major tributaries above Lismore, totaling a volume of 400 gigalitres, plus another three on the Richmond River and off-stream storage in the Tuckian Swamp and reopening the ephemeral opening to the sea near Boundary Creek.
Do you feel that the general attitude of people in the Northern Rivers is against engineered solutions as opposed to nature-based solutions?
I don't think so. I mean, there are a number of people who are wedded to the nature-based solutions, but they don't really comprehend the huge volumes of water which occur in a major flood. And they think that getting the ground dry will soak up a lot of water, but nearly every flood is preceded by more rainfall. So by the time the flood comes, the ground's already soaked. So, but we did do a survey, and on the Dunoon Dam, which if you listen to the loud voices, you'd think everyone was opposed to it, but it turned out there was overwhelming support for it.
So what in terms of nature-based solutions, what would you support in terms of combination of engineering and nature-based solutions?
The only real nature-based solution that works would be intensive revegetation of the riverbanks, accompanied by what's known as leaky weirs, and they could hold back a certain volume, but I doubt very much it would get anywhere near 400 gigalitres. For example, if each leaky weir held back an Olympic-sized swimming pool, 4 megalitres, you would need 100,000 Aussie to hold back 400 gigalitres.
Are you confident the CSIRO report will come up with a feasible solution that could be financed?
Well, they have come up with it. Their next step next year will be just to work out exactly what benefits you get from them, and they'll probably come up with an estimate of the cost of the detention basins.
Are you confident?
Oh, I'm confident with CSIRO. I'm not confident with the political will of the state and federal governments.
That's what it's going to come down to, you think? The dollar?
Yes, but they can't keep handing out millions and millions in relief and only spending 3% of that amount on flood mitigation, which has been the case for forever. Even insurance companies are urging them to do it.
Great. All right, Graham. Thanks again for your time, mate.
Oh, one more thing.
Yes.
I think the 22 flood, as damaging as it was, may well be providential for the Northern Rivers, and that finally something will be done after a century of inaction on the most flood-prone area in Australia.